present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the show with more aimless guesswork than Blind Date or Who's Resigned from the Cabinet Today. And in a week in which Britain is declared no longer an island, we welcome our French friends with this touching piece in English, published in Ouest France and read by Catriona Young.
The treatments of the British royal family, which were ordinarily revalued every year to try to retrap laboriously the inflation, come to be augmented in one alone time for a decennial. With this new system, the Queen benefits of an augmentation of 55%, which ports her emoluments from 50 million francs in 1990 to 79 million in 1991. And if it's the young Prince Edward who decroaches the timbale with a bound of 400%, all the other members of the family are also realising very good operations. Excepted one, the poor Prince Charles, who doesn't make party of the civil list, and of this fact has uniquely to live the rents of his Duchy of Wales. At price, where is the butter? He has certainly some difficulties to join the two tips.
Merci bien, Catriona, and merci bien aussi, Terry Hawkin de Leeds. Well, now let's meet the teams. On my right, or à droite, we have Richard Ingrams and Clive Anderson. Whilst à gauche, Michael White and Alan Corran. Round one opens with this from the Kent and Sussex Courier.
Mrs. Christine Overy of Golden Green, who was tied to a refrigerator door at gunpoint by two raiders, has been praised for her coolness by Tumblechums.
Thanks to T.M. Brown of Nottingham for sending us that. Richard, your first question. How did the sweeper tackle number 10?
It's Gaza, who formed up with Thazza to make this dynamic duo of two people seeking publicity in one another's company.
That's right, absolutely fine.
I'd like to object to that question. Gazza isn't a sweeper. He's a sort of midfield dynamo.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
If we bought him for Arsenal, he'd be made into a sweeper straight away. Because we like to play five sweepers.
You're a fine team. In fact, we had their fine on last week, didn't we?
You seem to be involved in a fight every time I've been on this programme.
It's your combative style, I'm sure, yes. Your court-like manner, yeah. That does it.
Thank Alan Corran for that last remark.
Anyway, the answer to the question all concerns the Munich style meeting at number 10 Downing Street between Britain's favourite right-winger and Paul Gascoigne. It was a poignant moment during which the pair of them produced the traditional tears, Gazza at meeting one who's had a hand in more dodgy victories than Maradona, and Thatcher at meeting a Geordie with a job. Clive Anderson.
The best bit was when they swapped shirts, of course.
Anyway, Clive Anderson, your question. Who's threatening to show his teeth with capping?
Oh, this must be something very interesting, like the poll tax. I can't remember which one it is. There's Patton lust for rate capping, or Patton lust for glory, or Chris Patton. They're all called Patton, aren't they? There's a pattern to many of the cabinet ministers, and it's all yes, as all part of bringing responsibility down to local authorities for the poll tax. The government is fixing it for everybody this year, and everyone's going to be happy with that. And then we can vote out of office anyone we feel responsible for the level that's been set. Is anything like the right answer?
It is the right answer.
And
yes.
Gaz is in there somewhere as well, I think.
Well, probably is. Yeah. Probably the only one who can afford to pay his poll tax. It's all about Chris Blood and Guts Patton, the Minister of Charging for the Environment, who's estimated that £380 is next year's average poll tax contribution. The people responsible for the Trafalgar Square riot retaliated by announcing that the next community charge will be around at Patton's house. Michael White, your question. Who's not so pleased as Jolly Hockey Sticks?
This is the Irish drama. It's very complicated, of course, and it involves a phone call made 8 years ago. I can barely remember phone calls I made 8 minutes ago, but the deputy tea shop, that's what they call a cafe over there, Brian Lenehan, has been sacked by his best friend, the senior tea shop, Charlie Hockey, on account of a phone call he made to a woman called Hillary, who was president of the country at the time, saying, wouldn't it be a good idea if you made my friend Charlie Taoiseach, now that the other chap whose name is...
That's enough story.
Ingram's was barracking there, but anyway, some other chap was Prime Minister, and he'd fallen. He'd done a Geoffrey Howe, as we say.
He'd have never done it these days, because he'd have been charged for directory inquiries in the first place. He wouldn't have bothered.
Absolutely right. Anyway, this chap, Lenehan, was sacked, thereby proving Jeremy Thorpe, remember him, great adage, a man who laid down his friends for his life.
Well answered. Good stuff from The Guardian there. It all refers...
Still only 35 pence.
Well, it's about time they paid you more. I think you're really right.
Anyway, the question refers to the Halloween ritual sacrifice of Irish Deputy Brian Lenehan in a last-minute bid to restore confidence in the Hockey government, all of which we broadcast courtesy of the Irish version of Hansard, Doyle M for Mr. Hockey. Alan Corran, you get this week's historic piece of music. The question, how did a British boar finally get through to the French?
Ah, this is about La Manche. It's the channel. Tunnel. They've finally met up. They've drilled a little hole and the French fingers have poked through and the world will never be the same again.
There's only a
very small tunnel. They can send a toy train through.
No,
it's a Hornby tunnel they've got.
You can shout through it, nerd. Big enough for that.
Mer du Nord, I think you mean.
Mer du Nord, yeah, of course.
Yes, it's all right.
It refers to the historic linking under the channel of two unfinished cul-de-sacs with planning permission for a tunnel. A bore from the English end, 100 metres long, and whipped curiously of a packet of barbecued lamb chops, finally pierced through the French soil. But it'll be another 2 years before trains are running, thereby giving English passengers the sort of service they've come to expect.
Who is this boar? Is it Sir Geoffrey Howe?
No, the boar, the French boar is called Brigitte, interestingly enough.
Oh, really?
What do you
Brigitte
suppose
Bordeaux.
Yes, very good.
while everybody's recovering from that, let me give you the scores at the end of the first round, which are unsurprisingly 4-4. Round two opens with this scene in the Shropshire Star.
Police have been stumped by the theft of a complete cricket pavilion at Rock near Cleobury Mortimer. Police said it disappeared sometime between Saturday and noon yesterday. This is a very unusual theft of a complete cricket pavilion, said Inspector Brian Smith of Kidderminster Police. Perhaps the thieves didn't think it had been missed until the start of the next cricket season.
Send for Inspector Clouseau, that's what I say. Anyway, we thank Mrs. Georgina Lewis of Telford for sending us that. And Richard, your question. Who'd lead us to believe that children come first?
It's to do with the family, isn't it? Such an important... it's to do with divorce law and that sort of thing.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you're a lawyer, Clive. You know all that sort of
thing. It's obviously Lord Mackay of Clash Firm.
Yeah. It usually is him.
He was proposing something that was not going to damage the family, like being able to divorce within a year or something. He thinks that's going to support the family.
That's it.
No, they're all going to be parents. Fathers in particular are going to be licensed. They're going to be registered and licensed and have to wear a dog collar. And some of them are going to have to wear microchips in order to tell Mrs. Thatcher where they are so she can shake them up and down and get their money out of them and pay the children. Teenagers are also going to have to wear chips to stop them becoming parents and cut the problem off at the at the source of the difficulty.
I'll give you a point if you stop.
Well done.
One to each side, that's the only thing I can think. let me tell you, Children Come First is in the name of a new white paper which promises that absconding fathers will be traced and held responsible for bumping up the £1 extra child allowance to a decent living income. However, in order to benefit, mothers will be forced to reveal the identity of the father, which millions of protesters claim will fundamentally destroy the entire fabric of soap operas. Clive, an appropriately legal question for you. Why won't non-payers discover it's fine by gyro?
I've no idea what this story is, but working out from the clues, non-payers has to refer to poll tax, as indeed my last question.
Nope.
Am I only
wrong?
Or it's just generally fining in court. Uh-huh. About 3 weeks ago, there was a story you could use credit cards. So now, I've worked it out now. Yes, it's instead of when people are fined and they haven't got any money, they're not going to be thrown in prison anymore. They're going to have even that which they have taken away from them. From their social security gyros. Even their cardboard boxes will be removed from them. And that's the way they're going to get the money out of them. Yes, I remember that now. And I was only provoked into it by being heckled by the other side.
Very good. Well answered. It's the uninspiring news that the unemployed who don't pay a court fine have the money stopped from any benefit they receive from the Department of Health and Social Security. Similarly, defaulting High Court judges, we understand, risk having their fines docked from their disability pension. Michael White, cast a spellbound ear to this.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride. And down I go. Round and round I go. Like a leaf that's caught the tide.
Michael, who's all for goodbye to All Hallows?
Oh, Geoffrey Howe again. I thought I recognised his song. Satanism.
Satanism, I've written down there.
Go on, I can read.
Go on.
Well, the church is very uneasy about these children in gorilla masks that turn up on your doorstep and then spray your feet with aerosol paint. Mars bar.
No, the Mars bar is docked at source by the government.
It says it will lead to Satanism. They will all be in cults, dancing at the end of your road.
Watching
doing
Twin
unspeakable
Peaks.
Things with their Mars bars.
Absolutely right, get the marks of that. It's various religious groups who are concerned by the apparently only recently discovered link between Halloween and the evil powers of darkness, or commercialism to you. Fears that children may be drawn towards the black arts were echoed by the Archdeacon of York, who thought, on reflection, that Halloween wasn't such a good thing to celebrate. Still, look on the bright side, it's bonfire night soon, so we can get back to burning Catholics.
In effigy, of course.
Alan, who cried havoc but wouldn't let the dogs slip?
This is the Geoffrey Howe escape. Has resigned.
Let sleeping dogs resign.
No, it's about the
budget.
It's a registration of our four-legged friends, isn't it?
Peers.
Government nearly defeated. three votes in common. Cecil Parkinson didn't make it.
Didn't he?
Oh, yes, he did.
Gosh, I'm not used to being a straight man, but you've got to be quick on that. No, he rushed down the corridors and didn't get in, otherwise it would have been 4-0. But the government was nearly defeated, and the House of Lords caved in as well, and in consequence, our dogs will be able to roam free and do what they will.
Under our feet.
I
expect you want to know where I stand on the dogs.
Yes. Where do you stand on the dogs, Richard?
Well, not altogether sure.
You don't want your dog registered?
I don't want to have to pay 30 quid for having a dog.
You don't have to have a dog.
Why should you? You've already got to pay 57 quid for having a television set.
Yeah. If you've got a black and white dog.
If you have a...
Return briefly to the question, who wouldn't let the dog slip? It's the government whips, fearful of the wrong outcome, who needlessly rounded up any stray Conservative still possessing the wit to get through a doorway from all over the world. Linda Chalker was tracked down to a Brazilian rainforest, hiding behind a tree, saying, "If it's the whip's office, tell them I'm in a meeting." And the scores at the end of round two are, still unsurprisingly, a tie at 7-7. Over now to Catriona for the start of round three.
The Army's Red Devils parachute display team could be grounded unless it finds a new sponsor by December. The famous skydiving troupe has been without a sponsor since Colorol went into liquidation in May, after sponsoring the team for 5 years. The Red Devils fear that unless another sponsor is found, they may be forced to drop out of next year's World Skydiving.
And we thank Mary Sutherland for sending us that. Richard, which food is only half as meaty as you thought?
Well, I think this is our friend Selwyn Gummer, who's arisen as the champion of the British sausage.
Right.
And this is all part of Mrs. Thatcher's campaign to do down the Europeans and fight the future over protecting our sausage from the Mr. Delors and the French sausage and the German sausage.
Yeah, it's the registration of the hot dogs.
That's exactly. Very funny, this man, very funny. In future, all sausages are going to have to be registered, whether you like them or not.
you've got a silicon chip on the side.
I've kept on the lead.
And it's actually, this concerns a Witch magazine report on the disappointing contents of the British sausage. That seems to suggest that walls have ears, amongst other. And like all other bangers, they go off within the week. Clive Anderson, here's another 30 seconds off your community service order. Clive, what's not to be scoffed at when you're scoffing for two?
I think this is a question about Pinky and Perky, I think that was, because they're making a comeback. I happen to know that. I'm ashamed to know that I know that.
Really?
I only know that because I was brought up in a very Jewish area, and I always thought I was Jewish until I realised I was the only person who was allowed to watch Pinky and Perky. but that's... I'm so taken with Pinky and Perky, I can't work out what the story... What's not to be scoffed at?
Yes, what's not to be scoffed at when you're scoffing for two?
There's custard in that lyric, and there was a story about the custard tart, which is another European attack, and they're going to insist that custard tarts be stored at 46 degrees. Did you see that?
No.
And you must have seen that.
Well, that's how the French store them. The song was written by Lionel Bart. And there was a picture of Lionel Bart in the Daily Telegraph.
No, that definitely was Pinky and Perky.
Come on, tell us.
I'm going to tell you. It's this week's deep and meaningful consensus that claims to show that 60% of pregnant women enjoy eating wacky things. According to a firm of baby food mashers, mothers record passions for marzipan and Branston pickle, fried egg on Christmas cake, lemon curd sandwiches with salt and vinegar crisps, and fond memories of the occasional midnight Euro sausage. Michael, who hopes all's well that ends well?
Oh, this is the Wally at the Well, otherwise known as His Royal Highness, Prince, whatever he's called. And according to the tabloids, which never lie, they were predicting Sir Geoffrey Howe's resignation 2 days before he did it. Prince Charles, desperate to mend his arm in order that he could resume a useless life shaking hands with people he'd never met before and will never meet again, went down to a well in Somerset and drank some chemically complicated, sophisticated, remedial sort of water.
It is all about Prince Charles, the world's favourite NHS statistic, who's been speeding his recovery by taking the waters at Glastonbury. Well, that's what your right arm's for. Talking of right Charlies, here's a little something from the Sun.
A man arrested in Wisconsin, US, for getting on a bus without his trousers, explained in court, "I'm sorry, I thought it was Monday."
Sent in by Mr. J. Mitchell. Alan, why might one day in the life of Ivan Dezinovich include judging the beauty pageant?
Very moving story. It's Miss KGB.
Right.
She had to do karate, shooting, strangling, and pulling out toenails and assorted other KGB activities, and she's been thrown open to the public.
That's about it. It's all about the user-friendly Soviet secret police who just voted Tvarich Katya Matova Miss KGB. In a continued spirit of frivolity, bubbling personality, and a genuine desire to meet interesting new people, death squads will now announce their victims in reverse order. The runners-up sash, incidentally, was awarded to a Massey Ferguson tractor. And the scores at the end of round three are Richard and Clive of gallant 9, but Alan and Michael, even more gallant, 11. This cutting from the Scotsman heralds round 4.
Mrs. Enid McDade was recently in the Chalmers Hospital, Edinburgh, for an operation which entailed her being opened down the middle from chest to tummy. When two surgeons visited her next day to check her progress, she greeted them with the question, "Which of you filleted me?" She didn't get an answer, and it was only as she was being released that she learned her operation had been performed by a Mr. Haddock.
Thanks to H.J. McPherson of Castle Douglas for that. Richard, it's your turn now for a comic song.
Give me a little time, please don't rush me. Let me swing and do my thing. Take your time and take me in. Sing it, automatic crystal remote control. My name is Dennis, the man is to rock your soul.
I doubt that last statement, however. The song was called Dennis the Menace, and Richard, who's having a bit of a beano on TV?
Well, this is Dennis Thatcher, who's...
you bring them up as your own, and this is how you get treated.
Star in a new TV show in order to improve Mrs. Thatcher's ratings. They're so desperate to do something that he's being brought onto the television.
Nope.
Yep. No, it's Dennis, the cartoon chappy, who's he's going to be on the telly.
That's right.
Yes. I saw something in the Telegraph about it. My mind tends to dwell on more serious matters these days.
It's the makers of the impending satellite TV production of Dennis the Menace, featuring the popular two-dimensional troublemaker and his mate Nasher, the Prime Minister. Clive, a small but hairy story for you. Where were men of letters bugged by a first-class bug?
Men of letters, that's obviously not a reference to anybody studying anything. That must be something to do with...
A lot of them are buggers.
No, yeah. Must be something to do with postmen.
Yes.
I can spot the clue there. Right. Can you give the question again? Men of letters were bugged by...
A first-class bug.
A first-class bug. Either they were being checked up on by somebody who was taping their conversations, or...
Killer bees were introduced.
Killer bees got in...
You're near it with killer bees.
I haven't known anything tonight.
It all happened at Mount Pleasant Sorting Office, where a deadly Indian centipede escaped from its package and charged a terrified staff. Apparently, it was a free gift from a Reader's Digest promotion. According to the Telegraph, a post office spokesman claimed it was the fastest thing he'd ever seen. It was later identified as dead. Over to Catriona now for news of the sign carried by a striking hospital worker in Manchester.
4% of nothing is nothing. We want 12%.
Michael, your question. How did old Tarzan swing into action at the drop of a brick?
Well, there's only one Tarzan in my life.
Yes.
The Honourable Member for Henley-upon-Thames, mm-hmm. Not a man we like, a.k.a. Michael Heseltine. Is right. It him? Is he... What's his brick? I don't get the brick joke.
He's got the Prime Minister.
He's... But he always embarrasses the Prime Minister. It wouldn't even be in the Telegraph now. They just have it under the weather. Heseltine embarrassed the Prime Minister again, 68 degrees, rain later. He has a garden with a famous wall with lots of bricks on. It's the largest, now that Berlin's wall has, you know, gone out of business, it's probably the largest brick in Europe. I'm floundering, yes.
Well, let me tell you, Tarzan refers, of course, to Michael Heseltine, who apparently did...
Oh, yes, I know what he did. It was the Daily Mail, wasn't it? He got in... Is that it? He attacked... Do I get a point? He lambasted her, as we say.
What are you on about, lambasting? Tarzan, as I said, refers, of course, to Michael Heseltine, who delivered a beautiful and occasionally moving prepared policy statement to Oxford University on entirely the wrong subject. That's all I know. Finally, Alan, where were Aussie beach bums out for a record?
You're not doing Brian Moore's parrot. Telegraph, great Telegraph story. That's sad.
Brian Moore's parrot, what's that?
Your man called Brian Moore had a parrot. Well, the scene shifts to Clacton Beach. And Second World War torpedo is seen floating off Clacton Beach.
Hang on, are you allowed to answer your own question?
Yes, yes.
I'll do the Aussie Beach Buns.
Tell us about the
Tell us about this. What? Is it a gun or torpedo or a House of Lords torpedo?
No.
Exactly.
Well, the Second World War torpedo came in off Clacton, and a child ran screaming out of the sea saying it's a Second World War torpedo. It's a bright child. And Clacton Council sent for a man with a hammer. And they attacked this torpedo, which blew up, and a mile and a half away, a parrot belonging to a man called Brian Moore fell off its perch. And it cost... The parrot had to be taken to Winchester, I think, miles and miles and miles, by cab. And the upshot of it was it cost 300 quid, and he's suing Clacton Council and, for all I know, the Luftwaffe. There was a question about Australian beach bums we had earlier in the week.
The question was, where were Aussie beach bums out for record?
It's a nudity story.
It is a nudity story, of course. And it's an Australian nudity
story. It must be that shop in Australia where a man said, if you come into my shop and take all your clothes off, you can have a record of Kylie Minogue. I suppose he's being charged with something. I don't know what in Australia. Probably raising the brow level of Australians. I don't know. But
let me tell you...
He was called Jeff.
That's right. You got it at last.
Jeff. At last. Jeff of Australia.
Jeffrey Howe, we find him.
So that's why he resigned, so he can run his record store in Melbourne. Quite right. It was at Jeff's record store in Melbourne it all happened. It offered a free album to customers who shop naked. Then he got rid of 60 records, but claimed they cut shoplifting at a stroke. However, judging by the bargain-hunting buttocks photographed there, but in the press, most of them were escapees from prisoner from cellulite block H. Now, just before we reveal the final scores, let's have some cuttings. Richard, have you got a cutting for us?
More bad taste, I've got to say. The Kingston Star. Every Wednesday and Thursday, a group of five New Malden residents with slight disabilities, such as heart conditions, go fishing together. They need someone to accompany them. Must be able to swim.
Yes.
Hands up a lovely picture.
Clive?
Yes, I got one here. It's from the National Enquirer, so it may not be entirely reliable, I don't know. But a man who was taught to read and write while in prison has been sentenced to 4 additional years in jail for sending death threats to judges from his cell.
Michael, what have you brought for us?
Well, with the assistance of Jim Fallon of Edinburgh, the Scotsman, community workers in Edinburgh's Fort Ward have been thinking up ploys for keeping everyone fit and well. In particular, they've invited participants to an over-50s genital exercise group. But before the stampede formed, it was announced the letter should have read gentle exercise.
Very good. Alan, what have you brought for us?
I got one from Crewe Chronicle. Mrs. Buckingham told the court, I have worked for British Rail for 30 years. I am very sorry and ashamed.
And the final look at the score tells me that Richard and Clive have 11, but Alan and Michael, this week's winners, with 13. Well played. We end with a heartfelt message spotted by Paul Dalwalder in the Salisbury Journal.
Lil and Reg express their affectionate thanks to our lovely family for the gifts and the fabulous reception they gave us on our golden wedding anniversary. Likewise, friends and neighbours whose attendance and presence helped to make our day so complete. And thanks to you, Ian, who entertained us with your organ in such a professional manner.
On that note, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Clive Anderson, Michael White and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by John Langdon and the producer, Diane Messias.